commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, the charge our Lord gave to his apostles just before his ascension in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 was this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Thus, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the 12, that is the apostles, would be empowered for service in the name of the Lord. They would perform mighty works among the nations. Nations that at one time in many ways were enemies of the Lord and far from the promises that God gave to Israel. And we see in the book of Acts labors that are taken up by the Apostle Paul and by the Apostle Peter. In chapter 8, we see the Apostle Peter and how the Lord works through him in Samaria, which at one time was a very ancient and bitter foe of Judea. And now in chapter 9, we see that Peter's ministry takes him also to a land that used to be occupied by one of the fierce enemies of Israel, and that is the land that used to belong to the Philistines, the area of Tyre and Sidon and Joppa, and these coastal cities on the Mediterranean. And how powerfully the Lord was working through his apostles during that time. We saw there in Acts chapter 9 the ministry of the newly converted apostle Paul. In verse 31, we're told that all the churches, in spite of the persecution and harassment they were receiving, had peace, and they were strengthened in their faith. They walked in the fear of the Lord, and the Lord added to their numbers more and more believers. And also we're told there the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. And we see that also as well here, the mighty work of the Lord in our text. For Peter's travels take him to that ancient city, that port city of Joppa, and there to a woman named Dorcas. A woman who in many ways exemplifies the very things that we read from the Catechism, specifically of question answer 86, about what a life of good works and how a blessing that life of good works not only is to our own faith, but to those around us. And so this afternoon we'll be considering these two questions and answers in light of what we see here in Acts chapter 9. Our theme, as noted in the bulletin, is through Dorcas, our Lord shows how our good works can be a means to spread the gospel. And we'll see that in three things, that he shows this through a deep concern, by a gracious answer, and then thirdly, in a powerful response. The Lord reveals how our good works can be a means to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see that this is first conveyed with regards to our scripture reading through a deep concern. Through a deep concern. Now, while Peter was in Lydda and Sharon showing the power of the ascended Christ in the healing of the once lame man Aeneas, something else was taking place. Something terrible had happened in the city of Joppa, just to the north. For there was a disciple, a very godly, loving woman named Tabitha. That was her name in the Aramaic, the language of the time that the people spoke. But also her Greek name was Dorcas. Many times people had a Greek and had an Aramaic name. And she unfortunately, and of course not by chance at all, as we know from Lord's Day 10 and the teaching on the beautiful doctrine of providence, this woman became very sick, and a sickness that took many by surprise. And shortly after this sickness began, and with no change apparent, she died. She died as quickly as her sickness came, so she passed away. What a tragedy. And this, beloved, was a devastating thing to the community of believers in Joppa. And it was because Dorcas was a special woman, and she had been a special person to them. She was someone in that ancient pagan city who really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and lived out her faith for so many to see. Really, even her name expresses the kind of life she lived. For notice that her name Dorcas means gazelle. Maybe you have that in a footnote there in your Bible. And as you may know, a gazelle is an elegant, graceful creature, admired by many and seen as a noble animal. Well, that name was very fitting for this godly woman because she was a faithful and devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. Really, you might say that she was like that godly woman or wife pictured in Proverbs chapter 31. She is described in verse 36 as one who was always doing good and helping the poor. The New King James Version adds to that very well and says a little bit more descriptively, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She was full of good works, literally overflowing, filled to the full. This was what marked her life. As the Catechism tells us in question answer 91, good works are related to faith. They are the results of a believing person living out their faith. This is what arises in their lives. Specifically, the Catechism says there that good works arise out of true faith. They are those things that are done according to God's law. And primarily, the Catechism notes that they are things that are done for the glory of God and not for our own purposes. Those are key points to note, as question answer 91 makes clear for us, because sometimes we wonder, well, what is a good work? Well, the Catechism very well dovetails the beginning of course of Lord's Day 32 with the ending of Lord's Day 33 and teaching what it is that we really do that's good. But as you see, it's heavenward focused, is it not? Or even manward focused, secondarily, and last of all, inward focused. Man becomes third when it comes to the life we live for Christ. Also, question answer 86 reminds us that good works are the fruits of salvation. And that's also important to note. This is what comes as a product of the life that we have in Jesus Christ, that ongoing renewing work of Jesus Christ by His Word and Spirit. And so, as we said, Dorcas was a woman who was filled to the full of such upbuilding and edifying good works and loving deeds. Mercy, love, and gentleness, and compassion, and so much more flowed from her life like an ever-flowing stream. And with that, we're reminded from the other translation, there just adds a little bit to the NIV. It doesn't mean the NIV is inferior in any way, but gives a little more of the depth of the original. It says that she was filled with charitable deeds. Charitable deeds, you hear the word charity in there, don't you? It's similar to good works, but it emphasizes more. It emphasizes and focuses on the fact that Dorcas gave to the cause of others. This word is often used in the New Testament of almsgiving. That is, of giving gifts to the poor, to the needy, to the orphaned, or to the widow. Giving in the way of money, or food, or clothing, in order to meet those daily needs, without which otherwise they would go without and suffer even more in our fallen and broken world. And as we know from the Old Testament, our Lord made provisions in His law for the needs of the poor and for the infirmed and for the needy and for the orphaned. That way there would be none of His people, regardless of their status or rank, who would go without. People of all ages, sexes, or status would experience His blessings. And Dorcas, in many ways, was a person who lived that out in her life. She was so special because she honored that command of the Lord. And she sought to care for those who were less fortunate. She sought to help those who went without. And in our passage in verse 39, we can see that her care was especially to the widows in her area. Especially to the widows. Psalm 146 makes special emphasis upon the widows. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, expressly mentions ministries to widows. And as you know from God's law, there was a special attention given to the widow and to those who were most at need and most exposed to those who could take advantage of them. And yet, sadly, under the Roman regime, those laws of the Old Testament covenant, the Jewish law, were not upheld. And thus, in many ways, Rome failed to provide for the needs of such of the weaker and more vulnerable of the population. It's interesting to note that the ministries that we have today to care for such people originated with the Christian church. They originated with Israel to begin with, but with the Christian church, not with Rome, not with the secular world. That's not something that the secular world would like you to think that. But it arises with the church. these ministries and outreaches to the poor and the needy, the orphaned and the widow. And so Dorcas excelled in upholding that command of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. For example, in verse 36, it tells us that her works and deeds were things that she was always doing. The idea of that she was regularly in the habit of doing this. It was something that she was continually involved with. This was a daily part of her life. This was how she lived out her faith in Jesus Christ. She was a giving and caring woman. And I can gladly say that we have many of that same type here in our congregation. We have been blessed by that. And I encourage you ladies to continue to do that. And we have been blessed by that in the past. We think of moms and grandmothers and aunts and many others in the church who have given selflessly of their time and of their efforts for the care of others in the body of Christ, the real communion of saints. And that's indeed a blessing of the Lord on the church. But further in verse 39, we note one specific way that she did this, showing this kind of care for others. And that was in the making of robes and other clothing for them. This too was a daily ongoing thing for her. Thus, as much as she could with the strength God gave, this was a woman who was providing clothing for the widows and the poor. And for these widows and for all of those around her who knew her, her face, we can glean from this passage, was such a powerful thing. Her love for the Lord was seen, if you will, in her sewing. Her love for the Lord was seen in her selfless deeds. Her love for the Lord was heard in her kind and comforting words. She had greatly affected the lives of so many people. And think about it. By just doing daily things, simple things, where common believers such as you and I live out our faith and show the love of Christ. And so much so was her life a blessing that when she died, well, these widows in the city of Joppa, they were overwhelmed. They were filled with grief and pain and sorrow. In verse 39, we see that they stood weeping for her, loudly sobbing and crying over their loss. And as a result, it affected the disciples as well. For you notice from verse 38 that it was their idea to send the people to go to Lydda and find Peter and to bring him back. Notice that language of verse 38. They sent two disciples to Peter saying, "Please come at once." These are words of strongly urging someone. These words express the sense of urgency. That's how great the need was for the sake of the church. How important it was that Peter come, that this woman might receive his aid. She was, if you will, by her faith and love in that pagan city, a witness to so many. She was a beacon of hope to those in need. We often think of Mother Teresa or people such of that kind, but in a biblical view, this was a woman who, again, like the Proverbs 31 woman mentioned there, who truly lived out what she believed. And for many, they didn't feel they could go on without her. For notice, her body is prepared. She's laying apart in another room. Her body is washed, that is, anointed with spices and prepared for burial. And yet they just couldn't bring themselves to do it. Was her work done so soon? Was her mission amongst them completed? In their hearts, they desired the answer of no. They wanted her there to continue to live that life of Christ. Because what she had, they wanted. They wanted that love. They wanted that hope. They wanted that comfort of the Lord that they found in her. Yes, dear friends, how powerful our lives can be when we live out that love and mercy of Jesus Christ to a hurting and needy world. What a message we send when our works seek to help others. When we're a giving people, and not just of money and clothes. Giving of offerings and other for other causes is a wonderful thing. But also, too, giving of our time. Giving of our busy schedules to talk and to listen and to comfort and to speak the good news of Christ and to live the good news of Christ for others. Dorcas did every day what the Apostle Paul urged the church on the Isle of Crete to do in Titus 2 verse 10. That in every way they make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Attractive, and that's what Dorcas did. The gospel of Christ was draped across her. And she humbly displayed the beauty of Christ in her life. And this, dear friends, this example, if you will, of in this godly woman is the way that we are to be also. As we live out our faith, and as we live out our joy, and as we use our gifts for the good of others in the church. This is our calling, that others, too, may see that life that we live and be drawn to us. That we might be drawn to want to know more about the truth. That they might be taken, smitten, overcome, if you will. That God, by His sovereign working through His gospel and the Holy Spirit, may cause them to embrace that truth and make it their own. They may repent and believe and have that comfort and that peace that passes all understanding found in Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Yes, by her life of good works and charitable deeds, Dorcas spread the gospel to so many in Joppa. May we also live such a life in our city or our community, in the churches that we are part of or wherever that may be, that we might be a blessing to others and share the blessings that we have in Christ to the needy. So we see here that our Lord shows how our good works can be a means to spread the gospel through a deep concern. They have a deep concern because this woman, Dorcas, has departed. And now what is going to happen? What will become of these poor widows? Well, we see secondly that our Lord provides a gracious answer. A gracious answer to that prayer. As you can see from our reading there from Acts chapter 9, as soon as the Apostle Peter hears of what has happened, these two people come to him, he immediately goes to Joppa. And there he finds that throng of widows crying outside of the house where the Dorcas' body was kept. The Scripture expressly tells us in verse 39 that the widows showed him all of the robes and garments and various pieces of clothing that this woman had made for them. Thus you and I are meant to see here how overwhelmed and shaken they are by this event. You and I are meant to see how their faith has been tested by this crucial event. How it has been tried in the fire by the death of their friend. For many of them, they wonder if the work of God among them has now ceased. They wonder if His work among them has come to an end. Has His ministry for their specific needs, both physical and spiritual, been brought to a close? Yes, how often at times the Lord can test our faith in the midst of such trying circumstances to make that faith stronger. And that's what was happening here for these poor widows. God was going to do a wonderful work for their sake. And so we see that Peter has everyone leave the room, and then he kneels down before God in prayer. And having concluded his prayer, he turns to the body of this woman and calls her by her Aramaic name and says, "Tabitha, get up." And what do we read, children? That her eyes open. And she sat up. And Peter helped her up to her feet and called in all the believers and widows and presented her to them alive. Yes, by His infinite power, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ sent a special message to those widows and to that congregation in Joppa. And that is this, that the mighty work of the Spirit in the midst of His people can never be destroyed. Not even when we think the situation is hopeless or dark. We may see that in our world today. How is the church going to survive? There seems to be so much coming against her. Well, we must be reminded it's the Lord's church. And the working of the Spirit cannot be ceased by any man, person, or event. Had the Lord's work finished amongst these widows and disciples? Had His ministry to them in that special way through this precious woman come to a close? Not at all. God would continue to provide for His people because nothing can quench the working of His Spirit for them. And the risen Dorcas, this woman Tabitha who was alive, would be a continual testimony to their hearts. Continual testimony to that very wonderful truth of God's faithfulness. From now on, every time they would see her, they would know in their hearts that God's ministry was an ongoing ministry. That He'll continue to work in me until the day I'm called to be with Him. Philippians 1 verse 6. He'll continue to be faithful to His church, even when things seem their darkest or most miserable. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. And further, it means that God will continue to work in me and in the church and in the world around me through people like Dorcas. People of true faith and love and zeal. Isn't that a blessing to think? That your life of faith is added to and built up through that communion of saints, of wonderful people who live out their faith daily for the good of one another. God is faithful and good and uses the instruments of well-meant, sincere Christian people for the upbuilding of each and every one of us in our like precious faith. God will bring to completion the good work He has begun. And we need to be reminded of that. We do, because in many ways, our assurance in that can be shaken. I mean, things happen, don't they? Things happen in our lives. Tragedies, events. Things that come along that shake our faith or test our trust in Christ. And sometimes we wonder in the midst of those situations, how will the Lord continue His work? How will the Lord continue to strengthen His church? How will the Lord get me through this difficult and stressful time? And yet, dear people of God, time after time, there are Dorcases, if you will, that come to life again and again. They come to life. There are events that encourage and strengthen us in the midst of our trials. Events that help us to see God's grace. Amid all the sin and misery we can face as Christians. For example, think of the scripture passage that you just happened to read for devotions, which meets exactly the need that you're going through. You've had that happen, haven't you? Or think of the sermon that couldn't have been more timely, speaking on the very area that you have been wrestling with or something that you have been struggling with scripturally. Or think of the friend who calls you up on the phone or comes to visit you because they can tell that something's bothering you, that you're distressed, that you're discouraged, and they bring you an uplifting word to comfort you and to help you just when you were getting to the point of breaking. In so many ways, God by His Spirit reminds us of His constant and continual work in our lives. For those things happen that try our faith, He never leaves us without a reminder that He is always there for us and will continue to work in us, even through people, even through wonderful Christian people like Dorcas, wonderful saints of the faith who live out that love of Christ and who are such a blessing and add so much to your daily life and walk with God. Yes, for the believers in Joppa, Dorcas was alive. And they could continue to enjoy her life and witness. They could continue to be benefited from her good works and charitable deeds. God was continually with them and working in their lives, and so is He with us today, beloved. And may we never grow discouraged when it seems that to us, as if God's work might be ending among us, because really all He's doing through trials and through difficulties is preparing us for a new phase of His work that He's about to begin in us or in the life of the church or in the world around us. God has His plans and purposes that are above and beyond what we can think or imagine. And yet we must cling to Him by faith as we go through these trials and challenges that we face as believers. But now we come to the final thing here where we see that our Lord shows us how our good works can be a means to spread the gospel in a powerful response. In a powerful response. Now, the news soon spread about what happened to this godly woman, Dorcas. Verse 42 tells us that this became known throughout all of Joppa. That is, it became household news You couldn't tweet about it. You couldn't post it on your Facebook page, but people knew, right? Word of mouth. Everyone heard of her coming to life again. And what is most wonderful here is the news that, many who heard about this glorious event, they believed. Notice that. They believed. They put their trust and hope in Jesus Christ, who gave her new life. Yes, the Lord worked in a powerful and gracious way in that pagan port city of Joppa. And yet, having said that, as wonderful as that is, that they saw and believed, we need to see clearly here what we're talking about in verse 42. Because what is not meant here by this verse is that people heard that this event happened, and then they saw her, and then all of a sudden they believed in Jesus. Okay, that's not what happened. And if your memory goes back a few weeks, we looked at Luke 16. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus in connection with Lord's Day 31, dealing with the keys of the kingdom. And one of the express things we note there, and what Jesus Christ himself taught us, is that, just seeing someone raised from the dead would not bring anybody to repentance and faith in him. Jesus said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." That is, let them hear the testimony of God's word, because only then, only by that word, can they believe. And so when we read this verse here, we must see it in that context. We're told that many people did believe, and they did, not just because they merely saw her, but because they believed the witness of the word of God. And it was confirmed by that miracle they saw before her eyes. That's important to note. But notice what verse 43 says. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner, named Simon. In other words, Peter was there active. He was there continuing in Joppa, teaching and preaching. And people were more and more amazed because they had the visible presence of Dorcas to confirm what that word was saying. You see, true conversion is wrought in people's hearts through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. And that's what we see here, and it was confirmed by that powerful miracle. People believed, and seeing Dorcas was a confirmation of what they held in their hearts. Yes, we may truthfully say that the life of Dorcas opened the way for the gospel in the city of Joppa. Her faithful Christian life touched the lives of so many. And because of that influence that life had on others, it made a way for even more people to be conquered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result, even more people could experience her kindness. Even more people could know her generosity and her love and her mercy. And when people come to saving faith in Christ and they see that lived out in their lives, they too are filled with that same compassionate, loving, and giving spirit. Maybe you've been touched by somebody in your life and how they live an exemplary Christian life. If you've grown up, you know, living a rebellious life, or you come in from the outside, and that person just becomes such a model for how you want to live your life because they model Christ. They follow after Christ. It fills you with that same spirit. And that's a blessing that many of these people would enjoy now that Dorcas was alive. They would experience that love and compassion, and Lord willing, it would flow forth from them as well as a blessing to other people. Because really, that's what we are. We're conduits of the love and grace of Christ to those around us. And thus, having pondered that and reading again our question and answers here, we have to ask ourselves, If our lives are used in that effective way with the love and kindness of Christ for the sake of others, are we those who are living out that spirit-filled life for others to see and experience? Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, those people whom you touch by your presence and by your words. And do our lives open the door for further gospel opportunities? I speak to myself in that way because you might not know it, but I tend to be quite a shy guy myself and not always one who speaks out what he believes when he should. And therefore, I too am to be encouraged in how I live out my life next to my neighbors and others, those around me. But we are to adorn the gospel in such a way that others see that in our lives and hear it in our lives and find themselves drawn to it. And that's why we should be encouraged not only to live out our faith, but even to invite people to come to church. When was the last time you invited a friend or a coworker to come to church? That way they too can see what goes on here. That way they can see the life of faith that's lived out. That way they can see the obedience of children as they sit in the pews. You'd be amazed at how many people, it's one of the first things they note. Look at those children who sit in the pews. Just amazing to me. The witness of the church can be powerful. And one of the ways that we provide that witness to our world is by inviting the people for worship, to hear the word, to experience the communion of saints, that they too may see that Jesus is a Savior who comes to sinners, whose forgiveness and grace is wonderful and makes us reconciled to a holy God. Well, beloved, in closing, the life of Dorcas touched so many lives in an age when there weren't a lot of Bibles on people's bookshelves at home, at a time when Christianity was still young and growing. How much more are we to be encouraged with the manifold opportunities we have in this day and age? How much more has the Lord filled our hands with, so that by using our gifts and our personalities and our wisdom, that we might be witnesses of Christ by our words and deeds? May the Lord help us to make the most of our talents, because we are a talented people. May He help us to make the most of our gifts, because we are a gifted people. We have knowledge and we have wisdom. May we be, in our own way, beacons of light to a world in darkness. May God be praised by our lives and by our witness as we live for Him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.